I'll be honest with you, I didn't totally understand all the words, didn't get all the meaning, but I knew the song. And it's a favorite hymn of many people. And when they asked that question, it brought back some memories. That was my father's favorite hymn, and I played that at his funeral because for that reason. And many other people, it's their favorite hymn. And then I remembered my parents had a record of it, and most of you in the room tonight, and probably many listening, won't know this name, but some of you will. There was a very popular singer years ago and called himself Tennessee Ernie Ford. And he recorded many, many hymns. And this was one of them. My parents had a record of In the Garden by him. And then I had a record, this might surprise some of you, I had a record of In the Garden by Elvis Presley. That's the honest truth, I did. And don't have it anymore, but I did have it years ago. So fact of the matter is, it's one of the best known, best loved hymns. And good reason for that. And the reason for it is, it's not only a nice melody, but it's a wonderful truth. It says he walks with me and talks with me and tells me I'm his own. Well, we want to talk about truth tonight. And we've been this year talking a good bit about truth because we have a shortage, it seems, of truth. Psalm 31 is one of the longer psalms, certainly not the longest by any means, but compared to some others, it's a little bit longer. But I'm going to ask you to indulge with me and read it all the way through. So follow along with me as we read the 31st Psalm. It's David writing. David says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord of truth, Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul in my belly. For my life is spent with grief, my years with sighing, my strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardst me, the voice of thy supplication when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewarded the proud doer. Be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. ask again that you'll bless and help us with it this evening. Send your Holy Spirit to be our teacher and our guide, and guide us into the truth that we need. But Lord, help us most of all to focus upon truth. Once again, if there's anyone listening tonight who doesn't know the Savior, who hasn't trusted in you, Lord, may they come to trust Jesus to forgive their sins, to save their soul, and to give them everlasting life. But for those of us who know you, Lord, help us to focus upon that which is true, that which is right, that which is eternal. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. One of the descriptions of Satan in the Bible, there's many, we looked not long ago, Revelation 12, where he's called the old dragon and the devil. But one of the descriptions of Satan given in the Bible is given by Jesus in John 8:44. We've talked about this verse not long ago, where Jesus said to a group of very religious people, and they were very religious people, you're hard-pressed to find anybody more religious than the men to whom Jesus said these words. But he said, you are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, did not live in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So here, Jesus calls Satan the father of lies. Therefore, when we lie, we are actually doing the work of Satan. Are you saying that lying is satanic? That's exactly what we're saying. Another descriptive term for Satan is found in the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, where Paul writes, in whom the God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Minds are blinded by Satan. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Paul is saying Satan wants to blind people so they do not realize that Jesus is the very image of God himself. And they do not realize that the Savior is the truth and that they need to put their faith in the gospel. Paul goes on, he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's a great correlation between truth and light. Truth brings light, and truth gives us the light, the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, Paul says here. And then he says the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We need the truth, but here Satan is called the god of this world. So Satan, the god of this world, he has authority in this world. He certainly has a following in this world. He has his subjects in this world. And let me interject something here. We've said here many times, but I think might be a good time to remind you of it. There are a lot of false impressions people have about the Bible, about what the Bible teaches and so forth. And it's largely because they've not read and studied the Bible itself, and they come up with ideas from other sources. Historic sources sometimes, poetry, epic poetry is where we get some of our ideas about hell, epic poetry is where we get some of our ideas about Satan. Now don't misunderstand what I just said. I'm not telling you there's no hell and there's no Satan. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we get wrong ideas about it. And one of those ideas is that Satan is the king of hell, and he lives in hell and he reigns and rules over hell, and that's his kingdom. And he sends his little demons up to earth to bother people. And then once in a while, when it's really important, he himself pops up on earth to bother people. That's a popular conception, but you don't get that from the Bible. It doesn't teach that in the Bible. The Bible tells us that he is the god, little g, of this world. His kingdom is not in hell. His kingdom is on the earth. Remember in the beginning of the book of Job, Job 1 and 2, where it says there came a day when the sons of God came before the Lord and Satan also came with them. That's another misconception people have. Say, well, see, Satan's one of the sons of God. It's not what it says. It says the sons of God came before the Lord and Satan came with them. That's what it says. Doesn't say he was one of them. But the more important thing in that passage for us at this moment is this. The Lord says to Satan, says, Satan, whence comest thou? Where you been? And Satan says, walking to and fro in the earth and up and down in it. So where has he been? So he didn't say, well, I was down in hell. It's getting a little hotter there than usual today. I thought I'd get up on earth and cool off. He didn't say, I thought I'd get off my satanic throne and come up on earth and just check out and see how things are going. He didn't say anything like that. He said, I have been walking to and fro in the earth and up and down in it. Where's Satan live? On the earth. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be serious, be sober, be vigilant, be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Where does he walk about? Up and down the earth, to and fro in it. So Satan's kingdom is on this earth. A book was written back in the 1970s titled, Satan is Alive and Well and Living on the Planet Earth. The title of that book is true. Somebody asked me after the service this morning, said, do you believe that there are demonic spirits that are at work in the world today? I said, yes, absolutely. No question about it. I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't argue that for a second. Now, what are you getting at? I'm getting at the source of real truth. And the source of real truth is God himself. Satan is the source of lies. So you literally have an opposition here between the God of truth and the father of lies. And you literally have an opposition between light and dark. And light and dark cannot abide in the same place. Light drives out dark. When light leaves, darkness comes in. But they cannot abide together. Now, with all that as an introduction, I want us to think about things that we've talked about. Last Sunday, we talked about the love of God and the God of love. I mentioned a couple of popular singers a little bit ago. Let me mention one more. All of these that I mentioned tonight are passed away. Maybe that tells you a little bit about how old I am. But there was a sad song written by another popular singer, John Denver. And there's a line in that song where he says, we both know the truth is hard to come by. That is a sad line. The truth is hard to come by. It is a sad line, but it's true. It's an accurate statement. In our present age, too often the truth is hard to come by. But friends, that doesn't mean that we need to give up the search. Jesus and Paul warned us about the father of lies and the God of this world. And in Psalm 31, which is a prophetic psalm, it is a messianic psalm. I think you'll see that. If you didn't see it when we just read through it, you'll see it again as we work through some of it. But David is going to tell us about the God of truth. So verse 1, David says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. And this is David's introduction here. He's saying, in thee, O Lord. Now notice Lord there, all capital letters, the salvation name of God. So he could say, in thee, O Savior, do I put my trust. That would not be inaccurate. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. What is David expecting to deliver him or to deliver, to save him? And that is the righteousness of the Lord himself. Then in verse 2, David says, bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily, be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. We sang tonight about the rock. The Lord is my rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Well, this is where that idea comes from. And then in verse 4, he says, pull me out of the net they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. What does he mean, pull me out of the net? It's a trap. David's saying, my enemies have laid a trap for me, and I got caught in it. And Lord, I need you to rescue me out of the trap that the enemies have set for me. And then in verse 5, we come to the prophetic portion that we talked about. In Luke chapter 23, verse 46, as Jesus hung on the cross, Luke writes, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.' And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. That is a total commitment. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. I trust my spirit to your care. I trust my everything to you. Heard a great sermon on the radio the other day about the spirit of man. And the spirit of man is that which lasts forever. Our body is temporary, you know that. There's the resurrection body, that will be eternal, but we're not there yet. But our spirit is that part of us which lasts forever. And to commend our spirit to the Lord is to put everything we have and everything we are into his hands. Even to the point of death. Now that is ultimate faith. So this is David's prayer. And here he says in verse 5, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit." I'm committing my life. I'm committing my eternity to you. Thou hast redeemed me. You're the one who's redeemed me. You're the one who saved me. We mentioned Fanny Crosby this morning. She writes, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." And that's the way we are redeemed. Redeem means to be bought back, to be purchased again. Many decades ago, I came across a little tract. It was a wonderful little tract. And I've used this for an illustration many times, but I think it's been a few years ago since the last time. This little tract was titled "Bobby's Bought Back Boat." Now that's a lot of B's in there. Bobby's Bought Back Boat. Here's what it was about. It was about a little boy, obviously named Bobby, who lived in a small town, and father had taught him a little bit about woodworking, and he had taken wood tools and he had made himself a little sailboat. And he formed it with the wood and he painted it and he made a mast, and he made a sail and put it on there, and there's a little stream in their town. And he liked to take his little boat down a little stream and put it in the water and watch the little boats float downstream. And he'd follow it along on the shore, and then he'd catch the little boat and he'd carry it back upstream and let it go downstream, and he'd play with his boat. One day the stream was going a little faster than usual, and as water often does, and the boat got away from him and he lost it. Sometime later, his father had taken him to another town, obviously downstream, and as they were walking down the walkway, Bobby saw a toy store, and he looked in the toy store, and there in the window of a toy store for sale was his boat. His boat that he had made himself, his boat that he had lost. So he went into the toy store and he went up to the man at the counter and he said, "Sir, that's my boat that you have for sale in the window. I'd like to have it back." And the man said, "What do you mean it's your boat?" And Bobby said, "Well, I made that boat. I fashioned the wood. I worked it with my father's woodworking tools. I painted it. I made the mast. I made the sails. I made all of it. That's my boat. I'd like to have it back." And the man said, "Well, son, I don't know you. I only have your word for it that was your boat. That boat was brought into me, and I paid for that boat. It's mine. Now, if you want it, you're going to need to buy it." Bobby said, "How much?" And the man gave him a price. He didn't have that money, but he said, "I'll get it, and I'll be back." He went back home, and he worked and did some chores, saved up his money, hoping that somebody else hadn't bought the boat. He got his father to take him back down to the town, and he went in there. And sure enough, the boat was still in the window, still for sale. He gave the man his money, and there he has his boat again. Now, what's the lesson of that? Listen, that boat was his because he made it. But that boat had become lost. And then it was his again because he purchased it. That is redemption. That's what redemption is all about. It's a great truth. And so, in verse 5, David says, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me." You've purchased me again. You bought me back. I was yours by creation, but I became lost, and you have redeemed me. You've purchased my soul. And then the end of verse 5, David addresses the Lord. O Lord God, God who is Savior, O Lord God of truth. Truth comes from the Lord. David's prayer here then is directed to the God of truth. 1 John 1:5, John writes, "This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." God is truth. His truth sheds the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ into our hearts, and we need to find God, and we need to know that he is the truth. All truth is God's truth. Well, I don't know about that, preacher. You can say something true. You say it. It's a true statement. That's not God. No, all truth comes from God. He is the source of truth. We have a battle for truth today. There are people today who say there's no such thing as real truth. What's true for you may not be true for me. What's true for me may not be true for you. Now, that might be correct in some limited cases. For example, I could say tonight, well, I have on suit, and that's true for me, but you don't have a suit on, so that's not true for you. All right, but that's trivial. The things that are real, the things that are count, are all God's truth. The laws of physical science are all God's truth. Do you know, for something to become a scientific law, it has to be tested and proven that it's going to work the same way every time? There are theories, and one of the differences between a theory and a law is that a theory is what we believe to be true, but it's not proven. We may have pretty good evidence for it, but it's not concretely proven. A law is set in stone. A law is proven. So Isaac Newton discovers the laws of physics and develops the laws of physics. The laws of motion, for example, an object in motion will remain at motion until acted upon by an outside force. An object at rest will remain at rest until acted upon by an outside force. And that is universal truth. You don't have to be a Christian to believe that. But it is a great illustration of the fact that there is universal truth. I'll share something else with you. Measurement. Measurement is solid truth. What do you mean? All right, I don't know the exact distance from here to the back door. I know the dimensions of the total building, but I don't know the exact distance between here and the back door. But if we were to take a tape measure and measure that exact distance, as long as we had a tape measure that was accurate, the measuring instrument is accurate, that distance is going to stay the same. It's going to be the same today, tomorrow, the next day, the day after, unless somebody modifies the situation, just like Newton's law of motion. An object in motion will remain at motion until it's acted upon by an outside force, such as friction, for example. An object at rest will remain at rest until it's acted upon by an outside force. And distance is going to remain the same unless it's acted upon by an outside force. There are things that we know to be real. There are things that we know to be solid. There are things that we know to be true. But the reason that we have truth, the reason there are things that we can rely upon, the reason that we know that things are going to work the same way time after time after time, is because truth comes from God. God, the designer, the creator of the universe, is the God of truth. Now in verse 6, David says, "I've hated them that regard lying vanities." We've talked about this before and recently. Vanity is emptiness, empty lies. David says, "I hate them that regard," those who give credence to, "lying vanities." You know, people lie for different reasons. Sometimes people lie to impress other people. They'll tell them something that's not true just to impress them. It's still a lie. I have seen people do that. There was a fellow I knew years ago. He had one of the most likable personalities of anybody I've ever met. I'm telling you what, if this fella came into here and he started talking to you, and he would, he'd begin talking to you. He was very outgoing. You would like him. He had a winning personality. He had a winning smile, and everybody that knew him liked him. For some reason, with him, that wasn't good enough. What do you mean? Even though he had this winning personality, everybody liked him, he would tell lies about himself in order to get people to like him. You know what happened? The whole thing backfired on him. What do you mean? Well, when he'd meet people, because he had such a great personality, people liked him. When they found out he was lying to them, they didn't like him anymore. He accomplished exactly opposite of what his actual goal was. He would tell people that he had done things he had never done. He'd tell people he'd been places he'd never been. Because he wanted to impress people. And there are a lot of folks like that. They will tell you exactly what they think you want to hear. Listen, I got a great plan for you. Tell you what, I've come into some money recently, and I am going to buy you the car of your dreams. Everybody here tonight, just tell me what car you have or you want, whatever it is. I've got enough money, I'm going to buy it. You know I made that up. You know I did. I hope you know that, because it's not happening. But the truth of the matter is, why do people do things like that? Oh, because they know somebody'd like to hear that. And if I tell them what they want to hear, they're going to like me. No, absolutely not. Do you know people don't like a liar? And why don't we? Why do we innately not like a liar? Because lies come from the father of lies, who is Satan. That's why we don't like a liar. You can't trust a liar. And the fellow I talked about before, again, great personality. He'd meet people. Everybody'd like him. They liked him wonderfully until they found out he was a liar. This is a very sad situation. And yet, his situation is not unique. It's not so unusual. In verse 6 again, David says, I have hated them that regard lying, but I trust in the Lord. Pastor, I think there's a lot of lying going on in the world today. Well, you're right. There is, and there always has been. And there will be until the end of time. But the truth of the matter is, there's one place you can go and trust the truth, and that is the truth of God. My trust is in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. In verse 7 and 8, David says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. What David's saying here is that he's praising God for his mercy. David is saying, I have had problems. But you considered my trouble. You have known me when I was in trouble. And you've not closed me in. You've given me lots of room. You've given me lots of space. I have a way to escape. And then in verses 9 to 14, David confesses his sin and calls upon the mercy of God, the mercy of the God of truth. Here he says this, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. We talked about that this morning. You are going to have trouble. Have mercy on me, Lord. I am in trouble. Sometimes you're in trouble and you don't see a way out. Sometimes you're in trouble and you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. I like the thing I read one time. Somebody said, well, I thought I saw a light at the end of the tunnel, but somebody turned it off. You know? The truth of the matter is, what do you do in a situation like that? What do you do when you're in trouble and there doesn't seem to be any way out? Here's what you do. You do what David did. You say, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly, everything, all of me, I'm consumed with grief. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. What is David saying caused his problem? Why is he in trouble? His own sin. He's saying, Lord, I've gotten off of following you. I've let sin come into my life. That's why I'm having trouble. Verse 11, he says, I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintances. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. You have a broken vessel, it's not much good, is it? I have done this many times, probably you have too. Picked up something to use it and find out it's broken, it's useless. Can't use it at all. Like a broken vessel. He says, like a dead man out of mind. Now, if you've lost someone who's near and dear to you, you never forget them. But how many times in your life has somebody mentioned a name? You said, wow, I hadn't thought about them in a long time. And somebody passed away a long time and you'd forgotten them. That's what David's talking about here. In verse 13, he says, for I have heard the slander of many. I have heard the slander of many. I have actually seen, and I could tell you story after story of times I've seen people make up stories about somebody else that weren't true. Absolutely not true. Well, how do you know they weren't true? I'll tell you how I know they weren't true. In some cases, they tell me the story and I investigated it and found out that the thing they said never happened or that details were wrong. The story was not true. In other cases, I've had people say something that so-and-so was in this place and here's what they said and here's what they did. And I said, it's not true. And they said, how do you know? I said, I was there. I saw what you're talking about and what you're saying is not what happened. I'll never forget, a man came in here one day and was talking to me about another pastor. I said, I need to stop you right here and tell you that pastor is a friend of mine. Well, that may be, that's fine, fellow says, but let me tell you, that man's a liar. I said, he is. He said, yes. I said, what did he lie about? He said, well, he's a liar. I said, what did he lie about? He said, well, he's a liar. I said, well, I want to hear the lie that he told. Tell me the lie that he told. And he never did. Never did tell me that. That's slander. That's slander. The people make up things, and they make up false stories to make somebody else look bad. Why do they want to do that? Well, number one reason is they don't like that person. They don't like them. They don't want you to like them either. So they undermine their character with lies. Number two reason they do that is to make themselves look better. Be careful that person says, look what they did. I would never do that, but that's what they did. I've said this here many times. I'm going to say it again. I can make myself look really good to you telling you what sins I haven't committed. But if I start telling you the sins I have committed, I don't look so good. I heard a preacher say this, and I've quoted him here many times. Heard a preacher talking about how he himself was a sinner. And there was a huge crowd of people in the congregation listening to this preacher. He said, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, good night, did I make all the effort to come to church tonight to listen to a guy as a sinner stand up and talk? And he said, yes, you did. And that's the truth. That's the truth. And that's what happens every time. You can't have a human being stand up here and talk who isn't a sinner. Now, we're not bragging about it. We're not rejoicing in iniquity. But what we are saying is this. When we try to make up lies and stories about somebody else to make ourselves look better, well, that in and of itself is a lie. And then we are worse than the person we're talking about. I've asked this question to many people. If I steal from you and you steal from me, which one of us is a thief? Now, let's take that step farther. If I lie to you or about you, or you lie to me and about me, which one of us is a liar? We both are. That's what David's talking about here. Verse 13, he says, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. Again, prophetic. This is what they did to the Lord Jesus. They slandered him. They plotted to take away his life. Verse 14 is the key. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Then in verses 15 to 17, David has a prayer for strength to live for God and to live for truth in this wicked world. And folks, you and I need to live for truth. We need to stand for truth. We need to find out what truth is. We need to learn truth. We need to know truth, and we need to live by it. Verse 15, David says, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent as a grave. Those who are wicked, those who are evil, those who are the slanderers, they should be ashamed, not us. And yet, for that to be true, for God to bless us in that way, we need to make sure that we aren't doing those things. Verse 18, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. I promise you, if you live for the Lord, people are going to lie about you. They lied about Paul. They lied about Jesus. They lied about Moses. And if you live for the Lord, people will lie about you. Why? They want to tear you down, as we've already talked about. Verses 19 and 20, our security is not in our strength, nor is it in the strength of others. Our security is in the God of truth. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. You trust in the Lord. You stand in his truth. You stand for his truth. And let him secure you. Verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Again, praise the Lord. Praise him for his marvelous kindness. You know what another word for marvelous kindness is? Grace. Grace. Praise God for his grace. And then verses 22 and 23. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. And by the way, help you understand your Bible. In the Old Testament, whenever somebody says, I am cut off, or let them be cut off, or he's cut off, that means he died. Okay? That's what it's talking about. I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Hebrews 11:6 says that faith is the key. He that cometh to God must believe. What do you have to believe? Number one, you must believe that he is. Number two, you must believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What does David say here? Love the Lord, all you saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, those who have faith, those who live truly and faithfully, live in truth, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Finally, verse 24, when it's hard, when there's so much lie, when there's so much slander, when there's so much untruth, when there's so much vengeance against God and against his truth, what are you going to do? Be of good courage. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. When you're in the world and you're reading the writings of the world and you're listening to the words of the world and you're listening to the music of the world, you're going to come across many lies. When you're moving in society, you're going to come across many lies. Some of them are simple. There was a fellow I had known for many years when I came here to Delray Beach. I had known him in another city. And I'd known him for a long time. Found out when I came to Delray Beach that he also had relocated to Delray Beach, lived not very far from the church here. And I talked to him, and he was just as friendly as you'd want anybody to be. And I'd say to him, you know what, and we'll call him Sam. That wasn't his name, but I don't want to use his real name. I'd say, Sam, sure would like you to come to church. And, you know, I'm pastoring the church there, and I'd like you to come. And he'd say, I'll be there Sunday. You know how many times he ever came? None. Not once, ever. Now, his son came here. And his mother came here, but he never came here. Not one time. Now that's what some people like to call a little white lie, but there's no such thing. There's no such thing. We are surrounded with many lies. Sometimes people will tell you, I'll do something, they don't do it. Now maybe they mean it and they mean to do it, and then they forget or they get busy, they don't get to. We're not talking about that. We're talking about they never had any intention of doing it. That's a lie. And we're talking about the fact that you are going to come across it every day in your life. So what are you going to do? You're going to center your faith, your hope, and your thinking and all of your life upon the God of truth. And who is this God of truth? Well, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, and what's the next two words? The truth. Okay. I am the truth. And David said, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Let's pray.